Well, hello, and welcome to Watch Our Crap-Ins, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Hello. How are you?
I am so great because I know that I do not have to go to Santa Clarita anytime soon, unlike the folks of the Valley who had to trek all the way up there on the latest episode. Today, we are talking about the Valley. Before we dive into that, please join us on Patreon, which is patreon.com/watchourcrappins. You get access to our free newsletter, ad-free listening, bonus episode. This week, we did a Top Chef check-in, which was super fun. And what else do we have on there? Crap is on demand. You can watch us on video. So go check that out, patreon.com/watchourcrappins. And, you know, as long as you're in the spirit, why not give us a follow on the old Instagram at Watch What Crappens, at Ronnie Karam, at Ben Mandelker. So that's all the exciting stuff on that. And we also have some few other exciting stuff, things coming down the pike soon. So keep your ears and eyes on this space for any cool things we may announce.
Any excitement. Oh, actually, I will be... I'll be doing a City Cruises dinner cruise this weekend, hosting a talk with Hannah Ferrier from Below Deck Mid and Sheener Beniner from Not the Valley, sucka, and Zach from the Valley. So that's going to be super fun. That's this weekend in San Diego. Check Hannah Ferrier's Instagram for that information and get some tickets and come. It's going to be so fun. We're going to like travel around and cruise. Ask Sheena questions. Yeah.
If you want to spend a night with Ronnie, at the very least, go get yourself a ticket. That's this weekend, right?
Yellow to the Smellers. Yes, this weekend. It's Saturday. Saturday in Sandy. So that's going to be super fun. I'm excited. I'm going to be taking a 6-hour road trip with Zach and Hannah. A car we're going to drive up and drive back together. So that should be some fun times. I should at the very least have some stories. Yeah, we're driving up Saturday doing the thing and then coming back Saturday night.
You will definitely have some stories. Well, we will look forward to hearing about those stories next week. But in the meantime, why don't you be part of the story and join Ronnie on his dinner
you guys, cruise. Be part of the story. Today's story is The Valley, Season 3, Episode 3, The Santa Clarita Trail.
Yes, because everyone has to go up there. And they are not exaggerating on this show. It is far. It is very far. So we're at Danny and Nia's house, and Nia's with her mom, Nicole, and also with Asher. And she's like, we have a lot going on today. The electrician's coming, and the backsplash is done, and the party is tomorrow. And Nicole is like, I can't believe the party's tomorrow because I have no idea what's going on. Like, thanks, Nicole.
No one does. Okay. Everybody's going to be so tired by the time they get there. They don't care. Okay. They're going to stay for an hour. Give them a hot dog and send them home.
Seriously. Jasmine and Melissa were at their apartment, and Zach is hanging out. And he's like looking at their invitation for their save the dates because they're getting married at some point. And then we go to Kristen and Brittany, and they're at like the plastic surgeon's office. And Kristen is like, Kaka, I am so for you, Brittany. She's like, yeah, I can't believe it's been 10 years since I had my babe's money. Can you believe it? 10 years.
That's wild because I remember the day you got them done. Oh, we all remember. We all remember that day. That was one of the saddest days on Bravo.
So Brittany is like, I've been thinking about getting a mom makeover for a few years now, which is getting a tummy tuck and getting lipo and reducing these huge old boobies. And Brittany is saying how she just wants to get them out. The last little piece of Jax. Toodle-doo. Upgrade.
Yeah, upgrade my life. I can't wait to upgrade my life.
I'm going to upgrade my life. So then we go to Dr. Daniel Poor. And he's like, hey there, new mama. I love it. How you doing, sweetie pie? Good to see you. Love the boobs. Who did those?
Me. I did them. It was me.
Kristen gives him such a big hug.
Show me that rack, pretty girl. Let me see what I did. Okay, even Picasso likes to sit back and look at his own artwork. Okay, get him out of here.
Yeah, He is like, wow, can you believe it? 10 years, Rob. Wow, can you believe it? Wow, you know, well, we did talk about a mommy makeover. She's like, no, yeah, definitely a mommy makeover. Yeah, bro.
I don't want no mommy makeover. I mean, what are you going to do? Change your lipstick? Let's concentrate on me, okay? Let's concentrate.
No, not your mommy. Okay. I'm going to do a makeover for you as a mommy.
That's right. I'm a mommy, too. I'm a mommy, too.
All right, we're going to take those boobies out, but you think we should lift them as well? They're a bit saggy, 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 right? High five, right? Kristen, you agree, right? High five. Stand it up for me, please. It's like, I haven't really seen your breasts in a while, so we're going to have to do that. Can you mind showing me your boobs? Okay, let's take a look.
Brings them out. He's like, hey, old friend, what do you say? Old friend, God, I haven't seen you guys for a while.
Now, let's see. We got one thing. One way that we like to test the density of the breast tissue is I just put my face right in the middle here and I go. Okay, that is a 3 millimeter density.
I love motorboat. I love motorboat. All right, let's take a quick feel here. Okay, that's my butt. Okay, well, that it is. That it is. Okay, turn around. Give me those bazoombas. Okay, give them to you. Oh, feeling pretty good. Feeling pretty. Whoop, whoop, whoop. These are measuring a 6-incher. Hey, wait a minute. Okay.
Good. So now we get the now we get the Brittany Ken Burns backstory.
I moved from Kentucky all the way to LA. Within 3 months, I got a boob job. And everyone's always like, Jax made you get a bigger size. And he did like encourage me to go bigger than I wanted. But I love what my boobs look like back then. And I love whenever I first got them done. It was just after I gave birth. Then they got so huge and, you know, then I didn't look like them anymore.
And Daniel Poore turns to Chris and he's like, don't worry, you're next. He's like, oh, oh, oh.
So I understand what Brittany's going through. Postmortem's a bitch. I mean, my boobs are down here. My waist is out here. I'm so angry with myself for not bouncing back faster. You know, it's just difficult.
Yeah, being postmortem. Why do I keep saying that? Being postpartum sucks. I mean, that must really suck. I feel for her.
I feel like it's really hard. But I thought it was kind of presumptuous of this Dr. Daniel Poore to basically turn to Chris and be like, you're next.
Yeah.
She didn't say that, you know.
Well, it's plastic surgeons. That's how they are. You know, you can't even be friends with the plastic surgeon because they don't look at your eyes. They just start looking around your face and they're just looking for little landmines and the shit that they can pitch you. You know?
Yeah, seriously.
It's like, oh, you should get this done. You should get that done. It's like, don't let them walk around with a marker. They'll just start drawing on your face.
So he tells Brittany that for the first 2 weeks she's gonna feel beat up from the liposuction, but then after that she's gonna look fantastic. She's like, oh, great. He's like, I've got no doubts in my mind.
She's like, I know, I'm gonna cry out my eyes afterwards. I'll be like, wow, what happened to my face? It got liposuctioned away.
So I'm gonna step out and I'm gonna get the face king in here to give you a little Botox. All right, Kristen. Okay, face king incoming. See you soon, boobs. See you soon, old boobs. New boobs are about to come to ya. Bye, my old friends. So he leaves, and then the face king comes in, and Brittany's telling us, yeah, you know, I got my mommy makeover, and it's gonna mean a lot to me on many levels. You know, I was talked down to, and I was disrespected for the way my body looked after having my beautiful son, and this is gonna be amazing because Dr. Lakey and Daniel Poore, they did my first boob job. I mean, they did all in Jax's nose jobs. What is this, like a one-stop Pet Boys? Like, what is this a Pet Boys? Where are you getting everything done at the same place? You're going to have nostrils on your boobs, and I don't want to hear you complaining about it.
I know. I think the fact that Jax needed to have all those nose jobs maybe calls exactly into question the quality here.
If he had to go back 4 times, did they do it right, Brittany?
Yeah.
But that's what you get because you're getting that Instagram discount, you know?
IG discount. Yeah. So Dr. Lakey comes in and gives Kristen Botox, face king. And Brittany is like, well, we gotta be hot mamas. I mean, we already are, but by the way, I'm excited for a girl's night. It's like, oh yeah, did you try your outfits on? Or did you just like order a bunch of stuff and like not try it on like per usual? It's like, well, you know, the dress I already own, okay, but I really wanted to do like a fuzzy pink hair and like butterfly clips, you know, like Brandon will be there, by the way, once we get back from the girl's night, and he'll be at my house. And like while Brandon's there, like we're gonna go to dinner tomorrow. We're gonna have a fancy dinner. We're gonna have like a steak. It'll be napkins and forks and knives. It'll be real nice and classy and fancy like.
You know who's going to service that steak? The steak king, Dr. Daniel Poor.
Oh my God, he's serves steak too?
He's like, oh, anybody order some steak? No, not yet. It's tomorrow night, Brandon. Steak night.
Like, all right. Kristen, don't forget, these could be in use soon.
Wait a minute, those are fillets.
Exactly. All right, you two, go on with your scene.
So, Krista tells us that she hasn't been out to a bar since before she got pregnant with Kaya, and she's, like, really excited for girls' night, and it's going to be at a Y2K-themed bar that her friend Katie owns. It's called Zero Lounge. So, yeah, they're going to go celebrate the 2000s there, the aughts.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So then we go over to Luke, who thankfully has a shirt buttoned up this scene because that's his new thing is that he doesn't wear his shirts closed. And he meets up with Jason for coffee.
Yeah. So Jason's like, yeah, I just came straight from court. You know, yeah, I got caught. Sorry, it was going to be 20 minutes, but then it turned into 30 minutes. You know how court is, right? So did you already order? He's like, yeah, I grabbed a spritzer. I had so much coffee, so... Jason's like, well, why'd you text me? He's like, well, you know, I wasn't really like, I was hoping this could be a conversation to use, you know, maybe we could move forward some things. Or he's like, yeah, nobody talks to you on this cast. Why are you calling me? Just get to the point. Okay. We're so here Luke to talk like, about what an asshole Janet is. I know, but I'm married to her. Okay. So deal with it. Do you have anything else up your sleeve? Anything?
Luke is like, so I just want to check in with you. Want to know if you guys had any communication with Danny and Nia, and I want to know where your head's at. Cause I mean, I know exactly where Danny's head's at. It's in a large mug of beer. And I know
we can always find Danny's head. It is up somebody's skirt. Okay. But he always apologizes after. So
always, you just have to look for two soulless black beady eyes under a skirt. And that's where Danny is.
He's not doing really well. I asked him the other day, I said, Danny, how you feeling? And he said, bleh, bleh. I said, Danny, could you get out of character? God, that guy's such a good actor.
Well, I know what I witnessed. You called Danny a clown and a douche. And that is truly the worst thing I've ever seen anyone do on this show. And that's why I'm more angry about this than anything that Jax Taylor ever did. You called him a clown.
You called him a clown and a
called douche. Him the C word. He's like, oh, I have respect for women. No, the clown word, clown. The word is cloud. Sorry, is that going to get bleeped out? Clown? Sorry.
And Jason's like, yeah, you know, but I felt like my wife's character was being attacked and, you know, she was being scapegoated. And that really upset me. And Luke's like, well, I don't really understand escaping goats. That's what fences are for. Okay. Then that's why we have a country man on this show this year. Okay. And she wasn't there to witness what happened. And she was not an involved party in the incident between Danny and Jasmine. He's like, my wife is not a liar.
Mm-hmm. So Jason's like, dude, you got drunk and you did idiotic things. You know, I saw this. I saw his actions last year and I didn't like his actions. Did I go too hard in calling him names? You know, I'm a 40-year-old man. I shouldn't be calling another 40-year-old man names, even if they are actually a clown. Maybe if he was employed as a clown, but I guess Danny's just not that talented. Well, there I am getting carried away again. I should handle myself differently. I mean, that's what I apologize for. But it's more about the way that he handled himself ever since, the way that he has pointed fingers at my wife. That's my issue with Danny, because only my wife is allowed to point fingers.
Yeah, and so Luke's like, well, I mean, there was an attack and you guys participated in it on Danny's character. And he's like, what's the point of this? Do you want to talk about my relationship with Danny or are we talking about us? Like, what are we doing here? And he's like, I'm trying to come to you because there are some steps that need to be taken to prevent it from going too far. We're beyond irreparable, like being able to build it back. Okay, this whole thing from last year is crazy. Danny did do what he was being accused of, okay? He did. So, like, going and standing up for Danny all the time is a little bit much. Yes, Janet is an asshole, and she took it too far, but that's, like, I don't even know. I think Luke's the only one willing to talk to Jason. you know?
Yeah. I mean, obviously Jason,
why is Luke, Jason, what, Jason obviously doesn't care what Luke thinks. So the scene is a little hard to watch.
It's Jason and Janet are clearly being iced out by the cast. Like they're not at this, they're not at the party at the end of the episode. Obviously. I mean, they would never be. It's at Danny and Nia's house, but they're also, Janet was not part of the Y2K party. Like they're being pushed out. And these shows just don't operate as well when the cast is trying to ice someone out. It just never, ever, ever works out right. It never produces good content. It's not compelling for us to sit in the middle of like a vicious feud. It's okay. We like a boiling tension, but we don't like, you know, when it's just like, okay, we've got to like sort of navigate strange shooting schedules. Are they going to be there? Then I can't be there. Are they going to be there? I can't be there. We don't really like that. And so I kind of am at the point of like, I think I'm ready to move on from this fight. And like you said, Danny did do these things. And like, can we stop like defending Danny's honor? Like Danny is not great.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, Danny did do this stuff, and I think Janet and Jason did take it way too far. So I get that. But just being like, you came for Danny, but Danny did do those things. So they need to have some kind of argument that, like, I don't know, because even Danny in this is like, they ruined my life. No, but you did those things. I think
you did those things.
You know, at the end of the day, you got nothing for nothing. But Danny is forgiven by Jasmine. She's at the party and they're getting along. So I think it's up to Jasmine more than anybody else to forgive Danny, I would say.
Yeah.
And the Janet, I mean, that's thing, why I mean, Janet really does do this to herself. You know,
that's like why Janet was made a mess of it last year, because it was sort of settled. And Janet really, she butted in on something. And I understand that. I actually think Janet has a claim to be able to say, like, I experienced things like this in the past, so it's a sensitive topic and I'm not going to let someone get away with it with just like a slap on the wrist. But like, she overstepped in this fight, and she got it from all sides, from the cast, from America. I don't know. I'm like ready to move on from it. Like I don't need to sit in this fight. Like I think like we punished Janet. I think she's gone to therapy. We don't know whether it's like a performative therapy or a real therapy, but at least she's doing something. Danny has not done anything, by the way, that we've seen to adjust. So I don't know.
He has pressured his wife for sex 2 seconds after having a baby. He is definitely doing something. It's not anything good. It's not anything that's making him look good.
He's basically celibate.
Obviously, I think Janet's a huge asshole and always have. But I think the problem I'm having is that like we're carrying this to this year, and now it's turning into like, oh, poor Danny, which I'm not really into, because first of all, yeah, Danny's being a jackass this season. And he did do that stuff. So I don't like the argument of like, oh my God, poor Danny. I don't like that we're reframing it that way this season. I think the argument should be like, this was bad. You know, Danny did something bad. He apologized. Jasmine got over it. Janet needs to get the fuck over. Everybody needs to get the fuck over it, you know, but then he's going to talk to Jason to be like, you guys get over it. But then his wife is one of the ones who refuses to get over it or invite anybody anywhere, right, either. So it's like, well, you talk to your own people. Like, why are you lecturing him about how this isn't going to work? It's just not going to work.
I also really enjoyed Janet as a villain, and I don't like having like my villain sidelined. Like the show needs a villain. Danny is looking like he's sort of moving into that place this year, but like, don't keep your villain on the sidelines too much longer. Okay. We need to have some real conflict here. So I say, get her back in the mix. Put her in the mix. Oh.
Or get rid of her and recast, you know, have somebody else come in, which probably would be the best thing. I mean, maybe they're counting on Lala being their villain, 'cause you know, Lala's trying it today. But I don't need to see Lala either. You know, I don't need a retread. I don't just work on it, show. Just work on it. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. So Jason's like, well, I mean, I guess I could see a friendship rekindling with Danny and Nia, but that would entail things on their part for that to happen. And I'm not a fan of people who do something terrible and apologize, but make absolutely no life changes, because it's like you're going to do it again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which you could also say for Janet, who's walking around just saying she went to therapy and then expecting apologies from everybody. So,
but that's funny to me. Like that's like a funny, that's a funny thing for me. I love when people are not self-aware. Like it's like, I went to therapy and now like you can apologize to me now. That's like comedy. Like I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So Kristen and Luke's, they are getting ready for Y2K. And then Brittany is getting ready. And she's like, we're not going to disappoint. We're going to be hot Y2Kers. When was the last time you went out? She's like, I don't even know. It's like, yeah, well, I mean, because it's been like, baby. It's like, yeah, it's been like 4 years. Literally, I don't even know the last time that I like went out, you know?
No, well, we're going to have fun tonight. Y2Kers.
She's like, yep, mom's night out. It's going to be so, so good. So Michelle comes and they're like, oh my God, we're going to be matchy-matchy. We're on the same Amazon page. She's like, I need help with my butterfly. Wait, what are those butterfly clips? Okay, we got you. Oh, I love butterfly clips. Yeah, I'm glad I'm going on a night out with the girls, but like I'm exclusively breastfeeding. And so she comes everywhere I go. So I got us a party bus so I could leave the party bus and then feed her on the part she won't take a bottle.
You know who she's takes, gonna... you know who takes bottles? Starving babies.
I mean... I'm sure leave her
on that bus until she's hungry enough to take the bottle. That's what I say.
You will take this bottle, baby. So Brittany is like,
before we all had kids, I used to love going out, but now I'm just so tired.
She's like, yeah, I'd love to bring my friends out to the club. Like I would, I'd be wearing like sandals, a little romper and hair and a ponytail and just go to the club and like, I'd live like my best life with zero effort. And now it's like, let's do all the things if she wants to go out. Am I right, girls?
Yeah, I mean, so then, I would go to the club and it would be like crazy. It would be like 11, like the sun would be out and they would like pass around bread and wine.
That's church.
Oh, God, it really has been a long time.
I unloaded the bottle washer and 4 bottles. Oh, wait, that's you, Kristen. Weren't you telling me about that?
Yeah, seriously. I did the same thing. I unloaded the bottle washer and 4 bottles next to it. Did you get the diapers ready? Luke, pajamas are ready to go. Are you ready? Luke, I am your wife. You know what I'm doing.
So he's like, yes, I've got it, Kristen. I'm nervous. I'm not nervous about leaving Kaya with Luke. I'm just like, really? I'm like, I just really like being with my kid. Shoulder to ear move. Classic Kristen Doty. Shoulder to ear move. I feel like I'm going to miss her first laugh or like the first time she tells someone to suck a dick. And like, I just like, I have real big like mom guilt about that and regret.
I'm determined her first words are going to be suck a dick, Diana. And I want to be there.
I want to be there when she gets hired to work at Sir. I just want to be there in that moment.
So Zach is calling from the bus. He's like, I'm on the party bus. Where are you? Where are you? You're like not even on the party bus. I'm like partying all alone. Whoop, whoop.
Yeah, well, I was talking to Luke and Kaya. Sorry. It's like, no, ma'am. They exist later. Let's party. Oh, my God. I almost forgot my engagement ring. Okay, bye. Bye, Luke. Bye, baby. Don't talk without me. Bye.
So Brittany's like, oh, my God. I look like a Y2K prostitute. Well, isn't that your style? It's just like it's your style. Look, this is the perfect style for Brittany. I love that Brittany's pretending like, oh, I haven't gone out in months. Brittany, you go out like 5 times a week.
I know.
This is your look. This is your lookbook.
Yeah, seriously. Like Y2K. Like she looks like she could be an extra fur. She's all that. So Luke is like, so you guys gonna like, you guys are cutting into Kristen's bar time. Come on, go get out of here. I need to jerk off. It's like, okay, bye. So, they get on the bus and it's like, mom's night out. Here's to Kristen having sex tonight. Cheers. And then they get to this lounge and no one is there.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So they go to a place called Zero Lounge. It's a Y2K party. Nobody's there. And it's on Hollywood Boulevard. It's on, like, on the desolate Hollywood Boulevard. There is no better representation of this show and what it stands for than this night.
Seriously.
It's like, so sad. It's so sad. So they're like, shot. Kristen says, cheers to snakes and condoms. 2 things we don't fuck with.
And then Jasmine is talking to Michelle at the bar, and Jasmine's like, so are you and Jesse good? We are okay. He has his moments. It's like, Melissa's like, I understand what you're going through 1,000%. And I know how hard it must be to have everybody be like, oh, but I like him, but I like him. And Jasmine's like, yeah, that's gotta be hard for you to hear that. She's like, well, if we weren't all part of this friend group, I don't think it would be the way it is. Jasmine's like, yeah, I get it. Cause like, you know, you could say a lot about a lot of people here though. Like Lala, I love her, but honestly, like outside of this group, she would not be hanging out with me. I know that for a fact. Yes, I am going to get a drink and I most definitely will not be telling that to Lala.
I know. She goes straight up to Lala. She's like, I will get a drink. I will be right back. Hello, Lala. Why do you never hang out with Jasmine? And she's like, we just went to dinner the other night. It was like very nice. It was like so cute. Yeah, but I was dogging shit about Jazzy and to Jasmine. And basically I was like, I feel like if this was happening, things would be different. And she's like, no, I feel like certain people are like that. Like maybe Lala is like that. And Lala's like, what? That is disheartening. Does she know that I just fucked a pool boy?
But wait. Michelle totally butchered everything about that conversation. Jasmine was just saying, yeah, if we weren't on the same show together, Lala and I probably wouldn't be hanging out. Like this is, we don't naturally hang out, right? But Michelle went and told Lala that Jasmine said that Lala is so fake and is only pretending to be friends with Jasmine essentially for the show, which is 100% not what Jasmine was saying. It's not even what Michelle was saying. What Michelle was saying, like normally, yeah, I wouldn't normally have to hang out with Jesse. It's really annoying, but I have to because we're on this show together.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Lala's the one who kind of took it and twisted it because she said, and then she's like, no, I feel like certain people are like that. Maybe Lala's like that, which is kind of what she said. But I think she probably meant it in the way that you said it. But then Lala takes it and makes it like, oh, she's calling me a fake bitch, which I guess she kind of was. But I think she's just saying like Lala's here suddenly and part of this friend group, but she wasn't before. Like now we're supposed to pretend we're all friends with Lala. The fuck?
Yeah. I don't think that Jasmine said anything that was like terribly malicious. I think she's just kind of like, yeah, we're not like we wouldn't naturally be hanging out, whether the subtext is because Lala's a fake bitch or it's just because we have different lives. But Michelle definitely delivers it in a way that sounds much worse than it was delivered.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering what Jasmine was thinking here. Cause of course she's going to go straight to Lala. She knows that Lala's in the Janet clique, you know, like if you say anything to Michelle or Lala, that's like the Janet clique or Brittany, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, that Michelle's going to run right behind your back. So,
right.
But of course, Michelle does. And now Lala's like, well, I don't know where she's even pulling this from. Like, I've been authentic and real since the day I entered the fucking world with a little tiny gun in my hands and a bandana around my head. And you know, anyone who fucked with me was a pop, 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 pop.
Old McDonald had a farm. I've got a pistol, motherfucker. Like, okay. So Lala's like, Hey, Jasmine. Hey. And Michelle's like, oh my God, I am not trying to start drama.
Yes,
like,
you are, like you fucking faker.
You literally started drama. Like you knew that if you went and reported that back to Lala, that would cause drama. And you knew Lala was not going to sit there quietly either.
Yeah. So Jasmine's like, okay, what? Are you trying to talk to me? Hey. And she's like, Michelle said that. And Michelle's like, oh no. Oh my gosh. I do not like drama. I was dogging about Jesse, how I was saying he can be like a showman or whatever. And you're like, I feel like some people can be like that too. Okay. Well, she didn't say she was a showman and you didn't say that. Now's the twisting. Now the twisting comes in. And
now Lala's like, up stuff.
Yeah. Lala's like, you mentioned my name.
What's up? Jasmine's like, I did not say that. Yes, you did. She's like, no, I did not. What I said was that in that conversation with you, I wasn't like, oh, I can say the same thing about Lala. I wasn't like that. She's like, okay, can you calm down, please? Which is a little microaggression-y from Michelle. And Jasmine's like, can you calm down? Don't talk to me that way. And Michelle's like, I am saying I'm trying to be nice. Michelle, you went and just like basically gossiped to Lala, made Jasmine sound like she's being really bitchy over in the corner and Jasmine was having a perfectly benign conversation and then she gets upset and then you're telling her to calm down and Jasmine's like, yeah, don't speak to me like that. I'm not your child. You're not going to speak to me like that. It's like, well, you're getting really upset.
Yeah, here we go. Here we go. Michelle is going to piss somebody off. And then once they're pissed, she's going to go, oh my God, why are you so mad? You're so aggressive. Oh my God, why are you so mad? And then guess who else is going to do it? Lala. Lala's going to do the exact same thing. And so now they're just going to gang up on Jasmine playing this bullshit. Is anybody surprised? Is anybody surprised that these people who were taken off TV for being problematic are now going to just show back up and be problematic again? I'm not.
Yeah. Jasmine's like, well, I don't care. I can be upset. I'm an emotional person. That's what I do. I was like, honestly, to be real about this, I don't think me and Lala would be friends or hanging out. And Lala's like, I take offense to that because we had a wonderful times and I have a very, very hard time connecting with people and opening up to people. And I'm very guarded and it takes a lot for me to leave my bubbles. You know, I'm like, oh God, I don't know why I really get so annoyed when people say this as if I should get a trophy because you decided to get past your psychological bullshit. I don't know. I've said this, I feel like I just had this rant like a week ago or so.
Yeah.
But when people are like, I'm so guarded and you know how hard it is for me to not be guarded. And I was less guarded with you. And this is how you treat me. I'm like, oh, like, it's not my fault that you like can't deal with your shit like that. Sorry. It's not my fault.
You're not doing me a favor by blessing me with your presence. You know, that's what it's like. I'm a blessing to you. How dare you? It's not all about you and you being a blessing to everybody else. We're blessing each other by being in each other's presence. So yeah, it's annoying when people get like that. And especially people like Lala, because like, how many friends do you have? Do you have any that aren't your mother or your brother? Like who are they? Janet. She's acting like, oh wow, I really opened up to you. No, you didn't. You started shooting a show that she was on. You came onto someone else's show. And so now you're planning scenes to do with them. It's not like, oh wow, I'm really opening up to this person. You're hanging out with her because now you're getting a paycheck, where she's been in your circle for years and years and you haven't hung out. So it's pretty natural for her to be like, this girl has never wanted to hang out with me before, but now she wants to come on our TV show and act like we're friends. So I think that's fair.
Well, the irony is, you know, I always have told the story about how one time Lala and Rand were swimming at the pool in my old apartment building. Yeah. And that's where Lala was talking. She was talking all this shit about Faith. And she was saying, let the peasants be peasants. The person she was telling it to was one of the Logans and Jasmine. Jasmine was the other person that was there in that pool that day. So like, they definitely were like friends at one point, enough that they were like talking shit about Faith. At my home, basically. But now the irony is that now they're fighting and they're acting like they had no friendship in the first place.
Yeah. So Lala continues on and she's like, I don't trust people. And anytime I've opened up to somebody, I go home and then I beat myself up because I feel like I've given them a piece of me that they didn't deserve. Oh my God. You've left pieces of you all over this town. Give me a fucking break.
Is it pieces of you or is it just pieces of silicone at this point? Like, what is it?
Nobody wants pieces of you. Put them back in your box.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's relax your Ashley Simpson with your pieces of you all over the place. It's just so funny. Like, it's when Lala does the I'm like vulnerable thing. It just cracks me up because I give you a piece of me. I'm guarded. Okay, this whole attitude, it's because I'm guarded. Okay, I'm like, okay, it's fine, fine. You left pieces around. That's fine.
Yeah, so, pick up your pieces. You know, clean up after yourself. And so she's saying, so now that she hears Jasmine throwing her name out there, she's just really upset. Now she pumps the brakes and she goes, damn, I should have known. Okay, so Jasmine's like, okay, are we good? And she's like, yeah, we're fine. All is good. Like, Jesus Christ, this fucking group.
You came back to it. So then everyone's dancing and then Nia has to go out to the party bus to feed her baby. And so Kristen comes out and joins. She goes, I brought you your mocktail. Oh. And Nia's like, oh, thank you. Oh, she's just finishing nursing. It's just like, you know, my body says it's time to feel the baby. So I knew. And like, oh, I'm just praying that the next 2 or 3 weeks I can get her on the bottle because I can have, that way I don't have to have a baby on my nipple.
Yeah. You tried breast milk in a bottle and she won't do it.
Yeah, that's why I said I hope I can get her out of the bottle. Come on, keep up, Kristen.
That's crazy because half this cast is trying to get off the bottle. I don't know if this baby belongs on this cast. So she says, Adelaide is 3 months old and she hasn't taken a bottle and I'm her only source of food. Adelaide, by the way, is so cute. She looks like a little like old man in a cartoon. Her little face. She's just like, what are you looking at? You want a piece? I mean, come on over here. Get the fuck off my lawn.
Oh my God. Adelaide's giving people pieces of her too. Oh my God. And the bishop, the Szechuan Lala, she knows how to use a baby bottle.
Yeah, she does. She's been using them longer than the baby. She's like, yeah, but my kids are my world. It's just a lot. You know I asked for this. She does that whole thing where she's like, oh my God, this sucks. Like my baby won't even take a bottle. I'm stuck here. I'm a prisoner to this baby. I'm stuck in,
but I like it. And I know I chose it and it's great.
You know what? I have chosen fish sandwiches at every restaurant I've ever gone to. But there have been a couple of times where I've ordered a fish sandwich. That's why I really like to eat this season. It was a fish sandwich storyline. But there have been times where I've bitten into that fish sandwich and said, you know what? I don't like this fish sandwich. And I sent it back. You know why? Because sometimes I order things and then I don't like it. And that's my prerogative. Send back that baby.
Now we're moving into Bobby Brown. I love it.
Send back that baby. Call the waiter over and say, this baby is too needy. Get me a less needy baby.
Just send it back.
Everybody's talking all this stuff about me. Why can't they just let me live my life with a fish sandwich?
I'll still pay for it. I don't want to be a big pain in the ass. Just take away the baby. Bring me another baby, and I'll still pay for that baby. I don't care.
So Kristen's saying, I feel bad for Luke, but my libido just is non-existent. Like, it definitely affects our relationship, and I'm grateful that he says he's never going to stop trying because he feels like if he stops trying, it's never going to happen. So it's nice to still feel wanted, even though I don't feel that way about myself at all. So then Brittany is talking with Zach and Lala. Brittany's like, okay, so both of you guys, we're gonna go meet. You guys are gonna meet Brandon at Nia's housewarming. Are you excited? And Zach is like, are you guys like, you guys aren't like together, right? Like you guys aren't exclusive. I'm just asking. He's like, no, I'm not going. I'm gonna take things slow. Like, of course I'm not. And we're not boinking or anything like that. Zach, stop it.
Well, this night's been fun, but Brandon's going to be waiting for me at home, and I'm ready to get it on. I'm out. Y2K!
Talk about a Y2K bug. So they get on the bus, and they head out, and Michelle's like,
Brittany is like what everybody thought was going to happen in Y2K, where New Year's happens, but the computers don't know how to deal with it, and so they just keep setting back 100 years and fuck up everything. Yeah.
But it only like really affects one person in upstate New York at a video store. I feel like Brittany is the lady in Independence Day who holds the sign up on the top of the skyscraper welcoming the aliens, and the aliens just destroy the building. Remember that lady? She was like, welcome, aliens. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's going to be Y2K soon, aliens. Come on.
So they get back on the bus to go home at probably like 7:45. And Michelle's like, we are in Hollywood. This old fucking dime. I had no clue. I thought we were in the fucking valley. I'm more drunk than this bitch.
I really identified with that because one time our friend Katie Cazorla, she once had a party down in Marina Del Rey on one of those boats, like the one that you will be on down in San Diego. And afterwards, we like all got onto like a party bus to take us back to wherever the next destination was. We went to a party in the hills, but the windows in the bus were like, they fogged up. And so like I had no idea where we were going. And it was so oddly distressing to just to be in this vehicle that's moving and you feel it's moving, but you have no idea where you are. And then all of a sudden you emerge and it's like dark and you're like, I don't know where I am. So I really identified with Michelle Lally in that moment. I feel like
I have never stepped out on Hollywood Boulevard and thought I was anywhere else. Hollywood Boulevard. I mean, there's a look to it.
There's literally stars.
There's a smell to it. I mean, there's a feel to the air. You just get out and you're like you feel it seeping through your pores. You know, there's no mistaking Hollywood Boulevard.
Are you saying the woman who married Jesse Lally may have had blinders on?
So now we go to Kristen and Luke's house. It's the next morning and he's making pancakes. And she's like, Kaya, you want to go girls' night? Yeah, mama went out last night. You're going to go one day. Well, it was weird. It was weird. There was no Kaya there. And Luke's like, I get to go to guys' night, right? How's that for a pancake stack? Yeah, you like that?
It was a good pancake stack, by the way. Did you notice there was a good amount of volume on those pancakes? I was impressed. So Kristen's like, come on, get over here. Give me those pancakes. Give them. So Luke is like, well, I thought you were going to come home a little drunk and I was hoping you would. You feel good. Yeah, I'm okay. We're not having sex. Okay. But maybe now, do you want to have sex? No, it's only been 3 seconds. No, girls' night was perfect. I'm waking up. I'm not hungover. I'm just well rested. Didn't have to have sex. And Luke's bringing me breakfast in bed. And I will schedule my next girls' night immediately. Caca, Mariposa.
She says, he's like, are you hungover? And she's like, no, I can't be hungover and have a baby. And I was like, oh my God, this is definitely your first.
I'm about to say amateur hour.
So Kristen FaceTimes Michelle. And by the way, if you're not hungover when you've just had a baby, it's because you're still drinking. So Kristen FaceTimes Michelle and Michelle's like, oh my God, I am dying. Like after that, I went to gay bars last night. And Kristen's like, you were at the Abbey? She's like, no, that is a straight bar. I went to all the gay bars around the Abbey with Zag. I stayed out until 2:30 in the morning.
Oh, I'm kind of jealous.
I am so hungover. And I just went to in out. And I have a show to show a house in an hour. So I'm like, oh, great.
It's like, well, you look fantastic.
Thank you. I can't believe I just showed a cheeseburger on TV. I must go hide in shame. Bye-bye now.
Congratulations, you've reached the end of part one of a two-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says part two. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
Whip up a meringue. It's Amanda E. Lemon.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's not a McBee, she's a McBride. Jess McBride.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Kay Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Aren't you glad it's Marianne Arns?
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is sweet. Well, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Can I have a Kavanaugh? It's Anna Kavanaugh.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher. It's Charlotte Fletcher.
Hogle your horses. It's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sherratt.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.